relinquish the chair to her, so we'll start with the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is public comment. I don't know whether we had a sheet out, but if either of the public members here have any comments they wish to make at this time. Okay. Moving then to new business, our main issue for today is a discussion with Kevin Elliff of Windridge Solutions, LLC, on potential port district expansion. In the interest of total transparency, I will acknowledge that Mr. Elliff and I apparently grew up in the same corner of Montana at different times. And I guess with that, do you have specific questions you want Kevin to address, or Kevin, would you like to ask us questions? We're going to be pretty informal as to how we conduct this. We just want to make sure that everyone has a chance to get questions asked and points discussed. And if we want to wait 20 seconds, here comes our third commissioner.
Okay. Yeah, I think my goal for this meeting is to ask you all some questions. You know, get a sense of what's on your mind as it relates to this project. Kind of look at your vision for it. Get a sense of your hopes, fears, concerns. And then we can talk about some of the kind of initial things that we've discussed today in terms of how we are thinking about moving forward. I'm Kevin.
Okay, Barry McClure. With that, I will relinquish the chair back to you. We had convened in your absence.
Thank you.
I'd pass you the gavel, but they wouldn't let me have one.
That's all right. I told them I didn't want one, so we're in fine shape. So have we started?
We've done the Pledge of Allegiance, okay. And the public comment, and we're just starting the discussion with Kevin about, you know, the idea of communication regarding potential expansion. And Walt, do you have some idea of how you'd like to start the discussion, or should I just have Kevin start asking us questions?
Well, I think that we framed this a couple months ago. We had a discussion. It started with John Rose here about the possibility of Port District expansion, if you will, to include areas of the Port Gamble Peninsula. That came about from a desire not necessarily for increased taxation, because the taxation increase would be pretty nominal, but the idea was really to allow the Port District to have some kind of a role in the development of the Port Gamble Spit and the Port Gamble Eco Park, if you will, whatever you want to call their park they're looking at designing that would house wineries, cideries, job creation. So with that, we did quite a bit of research. And I contracted with Kevin, who we've worked together for too many years, who's excellent at communicating these kind of things. As we all know, we can't be proponents for this measure. What we can be is communications agents for this.
Just a finer point, commissioners can lobby for, as long as you don't use port resources.
Right.
So commissioners could go door to door,
right,
or hold meetings and such. So you're salaried,
right,
so you can't
do it. Right.
But as long as we're not using port resources,
right,
and in fact, I think that's what happened in Paul's Bowl. The second time around, they got pretty engaged in promoting it.
But we are, in fact, using port resources to hire Mr. Elliff to communicate this. So the fine line that he and I have to walk is we need to give the citizens all the information that they need to make an informed decision. And should the Port District have an active role in the development in Port Gamble? So that's the framework. Kevin and I met with John Rose last week, had a great meeting with him. Obviously, OPG is the major landowner in that peninsula, and they're going to have an impact on whether this goes or not. The other element that Commissioner McIntyre presented was is that we want to make sure that tribes are involved in this conversation. So we have talked to Chris Placentia at the Port Gamble Tribe. We are going to be meeting with the Suquamish Tribe also, just to make sure that everybody understands why we're doing it, why we're putting this to the voters, and what the potential outcome would be. So with that, Kevin's got a lot of questions, I know. I think we need to be very free as to what our visions are and to help him put together a communication package. The first order of business for him is going to be to put together an executive summary, if you will, that we can take to the tribal chairs, both tribal chairs. So Jeremy Sullivan will be our next meeting, and then we're meeting with Mr. Forsman also, the Suquamish. And I think that his first thing of business will be to put together that brief for them so they understand what we're trying to do.
May I be a wet blanket here?
Absolutely.
I was talking to Brad about what happened with their publicist. And
in Pulsebo.
Pulsebo, yeah. Because they just did an annexation. Right. And it seems like the issue was Frank Chumlik, their attorney, took a very hard line on what the publicist could do and not do. And just all I'm saying is I really think it's important that Carolyn be with you, not necessarily every step of the way, so that we're very clear that we're staying within the confines of promoting the issue. So we can talk about a lot here, but if you could just make sure she's on board with all of it, and I'm good.
Yeah. Good. And just full disclosure, I have a relationship with that firm and was aware of that issue, so I'm sensitive to it. It was Rockfish, who was the publicity firm for Pulsebo, and I worked with them on parts of their work, and so I was aware of these issues. And I think when I first met with Jim, I said, you know, this is something we have to keep a really close eye on, so thank you for that, and I'm deeply sensitive that we have a knife edge to walk in terms of at the same time providing information and also not quite advocating. I guess my question, since this is the first time I've met any of you, is I wanted to kind of just get some comment from each of you, if you're open to it, about your vision for this, why this is important for the Port of Kingston. So I'll start there. We'll start with the chair.
Okay. I think there are a couple of things that are particularly relevant in my thinking. One is that Olympic Property Group is not going to be a major force in North Kitsap forever. And I think that there being a elected public sector voice in the future of the Bay is really important. I think it will be important to us. I think it will be, the citizenry of the area, but also I think it will be important to both tribes. and so I think that's a really important piece. The second thing is that's very important to me is that I think the way that it is developed, not only in relationship to tribal interests, but I have concerns about water quality being preserved. I have concerns that the economic development aspects of it be as community responsive as possible. And I think that we would responsibly do that, as opposed to piecemeal ownership, trying to get the most they could out of their little individual part. So those are my two major issues.
Okay. Oh, okay. I agree with everything Mary did, and I can see Port Gamble OPG saying we're out of here. And then what happens? Does it get diced up to something that's really doesn't serve the better public interest? Now ports don't have jurisdiction over land policy, but we have access to resources, and ports have done a very good job in brownfield cleanups and a lot of things that can improve the thing. So I think we can bring stuff to the table to help the development of the North End, so to speak. Because when you think of north of Pulsebo, what governance is there? and if the port can be part of this, then maybe the vision would be a really healthy North End, both environmentally and jobs and employment. So I think, I guess I could say, improving access to remediation and other funds to improve the environmental quality of Miller Bay. Port Gamble Bay, provide a framework with which we can have economic development that is positive to the the community, and brings in what they something like we might say first dollar jobs, you know, not just service jobs and coffee shops and things like that. And I guess this is sort of an aesthetic. Is I think Port Gamble is a national treasure. It's certainly a treasure of Washington, and I'd hate to see that fall apart. You need a viable economy up there or something to be able to keep those that really historic city viable, or else, you know, in the Northwest, everything turns to mush with the rain. But OPG puts a lot of money into that, maintaining those grounds and those facilities, and as they see, there needs to be a viable underpinning for the sustainment of that community, and I think maybe the port can help in that. And I also think that port, I was kind of thinking of one article I read on the Port of Poulsbo, and the idea was Port Liberty Bay was a recreational resource. Well, I think that whole north end with the Heritage Park and Port Gamble Bay is a tremendous recreational research for the region, resource for the region, paddling events, the bicycling that's in the woods, the hiking, the horsing. So I think there's a real potential for that to serve the general public beyond just providing jobs.
Right.
You know, so I think that having that helps everybody.
Can I just interject a question here? Because both of you have talked, especially you, about the kind of the environmental piece. And this will be an ignorant question on my part. My understanding was that they had completed the remediation. I'm just curious if you can help me understand what's behind those comments for you when you talk about the environmental. Are there still open-ended issues that you'd want to see, or is it just the maintaining of that work? Or
It's my understanding that they are either complete or well on the way to completing the remediation plan. However, there is a long distance between now and forever.
Sure.
And I want to make sure that there is a concerned, responsible party on the other side of forever.
Okay.
I agree with Mary. We don't know what we don't know.
Right now.
And I think we have the ability to access resources if the need comes up.
Great. Thank you.
No,
sorry about that.
No, that's fine. A lot of what they said, I agree with. It shouldn't be a surprise that the three of us are of similar mind, not necessarily totally alike, but on the environmental issue, yeah, I've had experience with a number of environmental sites where they thought it was all cleaned up, and then somebody stuck a shovel in somewhere and turned up some bad stuff, and suddenly there was a whole new cleanup going that nobody had known about before. And OPG, I think, has made it pretty clear from kind of our conversation with John that that is a money pit for the company, and they've been very responsible in the way they've approached cleaning it and trying to extricate themselves from it, but they do plan to extricate. And there's a lot of pressure right now from a lot of different areas on, you know, as you say, there's a treasure. A lot of people want to get in there and get part of that. And their interest may or may not be aligned with a broader interest. They may be a more narrow interest. Nothing wrong with a profit interest, but there's ways to do it that have they generate more benefit for a broader audience than maybe just the individuals or the group that's pursuing some kind of development. And I think we bring that different perspective to the table where we can not control but perhaps influence how that development takes place in such a way that we preserve the beautiful waterfront aspect up there, the village atmosphere that they've got there. Like I said, we can't, no matter what happens, we can't control any of that, but we can influence either kind of politically with just being able to talk to people, or with our ability to attract grants and funds as a participant in some of the developments. And I was really struck with John's description of their, what did he call it, their agricultural setting. He had a term for it that back there, the things they're doing there, and comparing that with some things that ports have done in other parts of the state. Walla Walla, the port district, was actually what started the wine industry because it provided the facility that then people could go to work on, and it provided some of the funding that enabled the wine industry to get going. If you look at some of the things that are being, some properties are being redeveloped in central Washington now by some of the ports, where they're, whether it's retail or wine tasting or brewing or distilling, whatever, they provide an infrastructure that can then become an economic stimulus for the area. I commuted from West Sound to downtown Seattle for 25 years, and I love that commute, but it is a pain. And it's it would be great if the people that come after us don't have to go over there to get good paying jobs, right, but there can be jobs over here. And that, I think, is one of the key roles of the Port District, is to help foster the kind of economic development that will create jobs that, you know, families can live over here and not spend 4 hours a day commuting to the other side. And I think that if we can demonstrate the benefits that people, I mean, the taxes that people are going to pay on a property if we expand the Port District is pretty easy to see. The county assessor can tell you that in about 2 minutes. I look at my property and I pay $8 a month, roughly, that goes to the port. Of all the taxes I pay, $8 a month goes to the port. So it's not an onerous burden, but people looking at it are going to have to understand, okay, if that's the burden, what are the benefits? And that's what we're looking for you to help us lay out, so that everybody can see plain and clear, this is what's going to cost, this is what you'll get for it. If we limit ourselves to just, you know, waterfront benefits or, you know, things like that, we forget the fact that the port does the 4th of July, the concerts on the Cove, you know, all the things that are not marina driven, and we bring people in from around the Western Washington for things like the Christmas lights. So there's a lot of benefit to a lot of different people other than just boat owners and downtown businesses.
Right.
And we need to be able to explain to them, because if it's foggy in the pulpit, it's foggy in the pews. If we can't articulate to them what they would get out of this, why would they want to support it?
Is it your sense that if you asked, you know, a random sampling of 100 people in Kingston, that the perception would be that the port is just boat-focused or marina-focused? Do you think that awareness exists?
I think, you know, random, that's the key word. Depends on which 100 you ask.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think in a lot of, historically, I think the port has been very waterfront-focused. In recent years, there's been more of an awareness of there's more to it than just the marina and the park down here. I think more and more people are starting to appreciate that because of things like the Christmas lights, the farmers market being down here, the 4th of July parade that we're participating in, the summer concerts. All those things that have grown really in what, the last 5 years, most of them. Well, not
more
the 4th of July.
Before that, but the, yeah.
But I'm thinking the concerts on the Cove is about 5 years old. Christmas lights is about 5 years old. So it's a growing awareness, but it is, there's a perception there that we have to deal with in a lot of people's minds.
I think from the survey, I'm sorry. Oh, the waterfront defines Kingston.
Sure.
The urban Kingston. And we're a big part of that. So our ability to maintain a quality waterfront, which we've been trying to do, and we've got that park from basically a brownfield we're converting, that means something to people who come down here. They think we're a quaint New England town, and you hear stuff like that. So that very much, our ability to maintain that ambiance is a big part of what people see positive in Kingston. Then we're an event center. We're about the only event, well, we have been, the only place where you can have all the things Bruce talked about, and there's a lot of smaller things, too, beyond that. That band shell was a brilliant idea because it enabled a lot of the only real event center in Kingston. So if you asked Mr. and Mrs. Kingston, they would probably say, oh, it's a marina. But then you say, what do you like it for? They would say, we like the views and we like the events, the farmer's market, things like that. So I just want to pile on what Bruce said. I think what, if you're driving at this, says the port is not just about the waterfront anymore. There's another part of what the port is, and that's inland economic development and improving the quality of life. It changes the definition of the port, I think.
The community mind, I think it sure does. And just another wrinkle on what Walt and Bruce have said, I do think that there is a pretty widespread perception, unless you're already connected to the port in one way or another, that it's about boat owners, and it's about rich boat owners. And I also think that in the business community, there's a very strong sense that the port should be stepping up and doing more in terms of more standard economic development.
Okay.
So I don't think that that's a picture that has already been painted. I think that's a picture that is going to be up to you to capture.
Well, this ties in really naturally to really one of the more important questions in my mind, which is, you know, how this particular project that we're talking about ties into the rest of your work. Because my understanding is you're involved in some other activities in the court downtown area. And so what I think I'm hearing you say, correct me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, one of the key messages that as commissioners you would like the public to be aware of is that the port is not just a waterfront concern, that it is about inland economic development and improving the quality of life. Is there more that you would want to say about that? In other words, you know, a natural comment I could imagine from, you know, Jane Gamblewood or someone who's not in the downtown Kingston core is, why the port? You know, why isn't the county doing this, for instance? And it seems to me that there's an opportunity to communicate about, well, you know, the reason that the port is looking at this is because we're looking at all of these opportunities to boost economic development. This is a natural outgrowth of the work that we've been doing. I'm just curious how that resonates with you.
I think you missed one point.
Okay.
To Joan Baez. Paved it over and put in a parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that type of, that's not something we're going to do.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to be behind putting in a lot of big box stores up there in Port Gamble or create Gamblewood Amusement Park.
Right.
You know, so I think there's a sense of cultural or rural and environmental sensitivity that we bring to the table from the North End. And I would offer that the North End of Kitsap has been the orphan stepchild of Kitsap County. No one really seems to care about it as a whole that I can see. I mean, I'm sure our commissioner does, but it just, if you have a few, well, you know that more than I.
The comment I would make about why not let the county do it is that the county's not in the business of fine-grained economic development planning in relationship to particular communities. We're the feet on the ground. And on top of that, the county isn't in the business of economic development here. They outsource it to other agencies and outsource it to us. You know, I think it's
sure.
I think that's a key part of it. Economic development is not on the county's radar. I mean, there is KEDA, which they outsourced it. And so the county has a lot of other things on their plate. Roads, bridges, you know, police, you know, there's a whole lot of other things that are higher on their radar than economic development. And the ports, when the ports were created under Washington law, the main purpose of ports is for economic development.
Right.
Now, we have to keep in mind that one person's economic development is another person's urban sprawl.
Yes.
And so that is, I think, another picture that we have to try and clarify. So that people see our vision of economic development as not being pave it over and put up a parking lot, but help facilitate things that are not only environmentally friendly, but culturally friendly to what we've created over the last 150 years in North Kitsap.
A minor digression. I was over on South Lake Union over the weekend, and which I hadn't done for several years. I used to work in the AGC building at one time, and so there I could still see the letters showing everything else. And I don't know how many of us are actively, who haven't been commuting every day, actively aware of the contrast between that and this. And so the sort of cultural economic development horror, at least to me, is Walmart City.
Sure.
And Oljeva. I don't want Oljeva anywhere in my wheelhouse.
I'm sorry, I don't know what
Oljeva is. A major park, major,
major parking lot.
It is a major parking lot. But it's all the chains, and it's within the city limits of Paulsbo. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll walk the tunnel there.
Yeah.
And
Silverdale.
Right. We don't want to be Silverdale. Right. We don't want to be Oljeva. But in addition, we don't want to be South Lake Union. That's not who this area is. And I think that's a piece that, when we talk about bad economic development, that's not bad, but that's a level of urban that I don't think anybody in Kitsap County is excited about, except possibly downtown Bremerton. And that's appropriate for them, but it's really not appropriate here.
Can I pile on that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got an urban growth area, but it's a very small urban growth area. I was driving through South Lake Union with a guy who was like a CEO of software. Anyway, we're going to meetings. And he starts pointing out all these new headquarters over there. Well, Amazon and all that stuff over by the bridge. And then HP and then all the big Zillow and all the big, a lot of big corporate headquarters or their engineering departments are moving there. So what does that mean? That's an influx of a lot of workers, influx of capital, which eventually will spill out of the Lake Union District. And like Mary said, this is a very attractive contrast. So I can see capital spilling out into this side of Puget Sound, looking for places to go, looking for places to live, looking for commercial, and having some entity like the port to help tie together this north end, not just the urban growth area of Kingston, tie it together can help that capital to constrain in ways that will be beneficial to people who have lived here a long time. We live here because it's not Silverdale. Okay, so I think there's
it's
a potential.
Not Silverdale, it's not being written.
I think there's some potential there because I think it's going to happen. With or without it, it's going to happen. And at least we get a chance to nudge things.
We can either put our heads in the sand and hope it comes out okay, or we can be part of trying to guide it to something that is good. Good for this area. I mean, South Lake Union is good for South Lake Union.
Yeah. I'll go visit there.
Yeah.
But
so if you had any, I think I've clearly heard from you all a concern that, you know, we don't want this to be Silverdale. We don't want this to be Lake Union. If you had any concerns about this Port Gamble discussion, either as it relates to the public perception or as it relates to the risks involved for the port, such as they are, or to the community or to OPG, I'm just curious, you know, is there anything that concerns you about it? Anything that that we would want to get out in front of?
That concerns us about expanding to encompass that area.
Sure.
You mean, is John Q. Public or is it Port?
It's the Port. We can get to the public too, Ben.
I have concern over potential. I think that we are uniquely positioned to not have this problem, but I think that there is a possible challenge around the ongoing relationship with the two tribes. They prefer to go government to government. They operate on a different time frame and with sort of different steps to get from here to there. trust is a major issue within those communities and governments in a way that I think everyone here has given up already on elected officials, you know. And we have a working relationship with the tribes. I think there's one of the things I appreciate about us is that there is respect, and I think that is really important in as I think about entering into an ongoing government-to-government relationship with them. And I have no idea, I mean, that's a little reflection out in a window somewhere as opposed to a thing I'd ever want to say directly, but I think that's an issue. And I think the flip side of it is that I think we can navigate that well, and I don't believe that a collection of smaller public private owners, I can't really quite imagine what that would look like, you know, in terms of functionally making progress and collaborating on anything.
We faced the water for 100 years now.
Close to it.
And I think we're very skilled in waterfront activities and such. That Sound Runner didn't work wasn't because it didn't work operationally. We had the talent to do that. We don't have the staff talent. Jim's here now, okay? We haven't had the staff talent to do upland economic development projects of what we're talking about. We probably are in a golden zone here, so to speak. We have Jim, who has a lot of experience there. And we also have a partner who has the skills, if it's OPG in that area, to do things right. Without them, I think that property would develop very badly. So right now, we don't have the in-house assets other than Jim to do the type of stuff we're talking about. So, and fortunately, we have a developer who is here for the, leaving, but there's a lot of developers to come build something and they're gone. And they leave the community with things that don't serve the community. So we do have probably as good as we are ever get of a partner in those types of activities. But we don't inherently, we can't do that with the staff we have now. We are not geared up to doing that type of development. We could be, we just don't have experience there. So that's a potential vulnerability, but a potential opportunity at the same time.
And just to pile on to that, and I, you know, the choice of Jim a year ago, is it just a year ago?
A year ago this week?
A year ago this week. At least for me, had very much to do with his abilities in terms of land management and development. I'm completely comfortable with having the talent to manage, but to basically go beyond that, I think is, I agree with you all.
And I think that leads to an issue that's going to come up in any public discussion about our expansion, is the idea of, well, you've got a great staff to run this 7 acres or whatever we've got down here. They can't take on also doing things, developments, projects up in Fort Campbell, so you're going to have to expand your staff, which means you're going to have to grow your budget, which means you're going to hire more people. You know, I'm just reading a little thing in the paper today. Steve Ballmer has apparently put together this incredible database about government, you know, and how many people work for the government. 24 million, something like that, and people say, ah, it's all the bureaucrats. But then when you start breaking it down, it's teachers and firemen and policemen, and, you know, it turns out to be your next door neighbors and the people you like and things like that. They're not just faces of bureaucrats. And that will be maybe something we have to be able to explain to people that, yes, to be able to do projects up there, we're going to have to expand our budget. We're going to have to hire more people. But they will be people you know and like working with you rather than more bureaucrats. I mean, somebody may say, well, what if 10 people down at the port all day? And from my view of the last few days, or the last few years, I mean, they work pretty hard all day long. And so, and they kind of fall behind sometimes in the projects, different types of issues. So the same thing would be, I think, going on there, and we have to be able to communicate or at least respond to a question about, oh, you just want to hire more people and have a bigger budget.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that ties into that, you know, effectively communicating the broader vision of the port, you know, that there's a vision here to not just manage the waterfront, but, you know, to be hold true to that charter in the RCW where we believe in economic development. It's our core mission. Yeah, we're going to do that now, you know, and we're laying the resources.
If I could interject just for a second, because this is a great discussion. I didn't expect you guys to be so open about this, so this is great. But again, a couple things you said, well, what you just said is really profound in that this is the right time when everything is coming together. The environmental cleanup is done. OPG is looking for an exit in the next 10 years. The port has grown to a point where they have a professional staff that can manage it. The stars are almost in alignment to do this now and not wait. So that's really...
We are going to have to reinvent ourselves somewhat.
Yeah, yes, yep, yes.
I mean, but...
One of our communication issues is going to be, and as I talk to it with citizens, they have the impression that we're going to buy Port Gamble,
right.
Own it, and we're not. And we need to communicate that all we're doing is expanding our district so that we can actually invest in the community. Right now, we can't invest in the community because it's not in our district. So it's just giving us the ability, and that's an important key point that the public is going to have to realize. And that what we bring to the table is our granting ability. We can, in talking to John Rose, it was interesting, he says, why didn't we do this before? So you could have helped me with the cleanup, because port districts have MOTCA funds available and other
right.
funds that would have helped
right.
that, where he as a private owner can't do that. So we need to be cognizant that what we bring to the table is very good at this particular time.
I also think that I'm not looking at OPG as the savior of the North End.
Right.
And I think they're going to be a good partner. I don't know that we would find, matter of fact, I don't think we would find a substantially better partner mm-hmm. that to work with. But I am really loath to paint Olympic Property Group as the best thing that ever happened to North Kitsap.
Sure, because they have
a lot of reasons.
That's
yeah.
a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the problem is, what's the option?
Oh,
you know,
yeah, that, yeah.
If we can keep them around to use their resources for responsible development, the other option is you break it up into 5-acre lots and, or whatever, and it you get a silver day. You know?
I'm not actually saying anything negative about Olympic Property Group.
Sure.
I am saying that any developer of any sort has a responsibility that is not necessarily, and matter of fact, is necessarily not about community benefit.
Correct.
I have, in my dealings with Olympic Property Group, have found them to be more concerned with community benefit than any other developer I've worked with, and I've worked with a lot. And so you have to work with private people.
I think there's
as good
a powerful
as
argument
yeah.
that when you look at outside our UGA, what's the governance?
Yeah.
You know, Silverdale is an unincorporated UGA, and it was pre-GMA, you know.
Yeah.
There is none except, I mean, at least bring some governance to the table, some ability for people to influence the outcome, the community, the outcome of what happens up here. So we really have a great treasure. We got a lot of values up here, but we can lose them. The argument could be, do you want Silverdale and Olalla and what's the new one down there? Do you want that, or do you want to have at least some way of the public influencing what happens?
Right.
I think there's a comparison that could be made there. Because people live here because of the way it is.
Well, actually, that was a question I actually was going to talk with Jim about later, but mostly just because it's an ignorance question on my part. But you all are referencing this counterexample that, you know, we are not Silverdale, that we are wanting to develop in a more economically and culturally sensitive way. My question is, what defines that? what guides that? In other words, does the UGA specify, you know, certain elements of that? And then, like you said, outside of the UGA, is it really just you as commissioner? I don't mean it's just in the pejorative sense, but is it simply your collective sensibilities as commissioners? In other words, is there something coded into...
We're required to have a master plan.
Okay, so there's a master plan.
Right. And it doesn't include this, but it would.
Yeah, it would inform. Yeah.
So, and that's a publicly derived document.
Okay.
And I think getting back to something I think Mary said earlier about having an elected group on the ground rather than a self-appointed group of developers.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see as important is we were talking briefly about leaving Montana. It's a beautiful state, but you can't eat scenery. And the only jobs in most of that state now are service sector jobs, cleaning motels, serving in restaurants, not much more. I would hope that with our involvement, we'd be able to guide the development up there so that there are greater opportunities for the people who live here than just to Seattle or I can do a service sector job. And that's part of what would then preserve this as a community that lives here rather than just a bedroom community.
Okay.
And I think we are indeed a bedroom community, but I think that's my opinion, and I think that will become even more so. But I think we are at this precious moment where there is the opportunity to not just survive what happens with growth, but define it in a way and take steps to enhance what we are as opposed to just lose. Mm-hmm. A piece that is, I think, important here in thinking about what's possible is that the county is contemplating and has fairly well committed to a set of policies concerning port districts, that ports have greater authority within their district.
Oh, okay.
And I think that potentially serves us really well in this environment because that covers everything from building heights. You know, when we think about downtown Kingston, the question of building heights really needs to be considered. What is the upside, downside of increasing it? And I think that those kinds of questions have to have the community at heart, not the single owner at heart.
Right.
So,
and just so I'm clear, what I think I'm hearing you say is that the county, let's use the building heights as an example, has basically given you all the authority to administer those sorts of questions.
Not entirely.
Yeah. But moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the jobs thing, you know, our median income is like $50,000. Yeah. You don't work in Seattle on a $50,000 income. You can't afford your commuting costs. So when the boom was going, the people who were making those incomes were people who built homes. And then when the boom, you know, ended, then downtown, you know, it's got a lot of empty commercial space. So that's kind of tough if you rely on your median income jobs to be home building. That's not sustainable. There's an end point there. I mean, there's going to be development, and we'll see all that. But the idea of the North End, Kingston, our economy reinventing itself around local industries that provide the jobs for the average person or average family is something that we may be able to influence.
Yeah, we're not just a tourism destination, which gives you all these service sector jobs, and we're not just a construction industry that's a boom and bust, but we have a base here of companies that employ people at wages you can afford to live on and buy a home in this area. And that's where I think we can help by control.
And I think one thing that underlies all of this, and that I am, whenever we have this kind of conversation, I am so heartened that we share this perspective. And we know, of course, there's all these little issues about how do you actually do it, but the basic goal of a community that still feels like our community when, as we go through the next 10 years, I think that we can be trusted to try to do that, to care about that, because it's not easy.
No.
our growth demographic, when OPG studied it a long time ago, was retirees, one, and young families getting squeezed out of King and Snohomish County. So you kind of think of what values to them, too, you know. And I think we can provide things that, as they join our population here.
Yeah. So we can do things like incubator facilities, and we can do other things where we're not gifting anything, of course, but we're helping facilitate what maybe a profit-motivated developer wouldn't want to take the risk for that level of return. We can do it without worrying about the level of return we're getting, as long as the return can be measured in these sort of non-traditional economic development jobs, community preservation.
Well, that covers a lot of what I wanted to talk about. I think, you know, the other question I was going to ask you, which I think I can pull out of what we talked about, is just, you know, kind of from your perspective individually, what you think are the most important messages that the public get. But I feel like I'm hearing that. It's very much that sense of elective accountability, culturally sensitive and environmentally sensitive growth, the fact that, you know, we don't want it to be chunked up by a bunch of individual private developers, and we're a resource for allowing for a government-to-government relationship with tribes and also a partnership with OPG.
I think that it's more than government-to-government. It's the vision of the tribes having their mm-hmm. their native lands. I think that, in terms of the property we're talking about,
yeah,
that's right across the day.
Sure.
And they're going to have their own vision of, and you're very right about that, their vision of how they want to see that, you know, culturally, traditionally, their land evolve and develop. And I think that's one of the places where we can reach out to them, because we can help facilitate that with finances and grants and things that they might not have access to. They have their own sources of income, we have different sources of funding. But we have to do that in a very sensitive and respectful way, because Mary's right, you know, trust and respect are two major factors right. there. And there's historically, there's not a really good track record. There's a lot of bridges to be built, and will take some time.
Okay. Is there anything else or any questions that you have of me, or any?
Well, matter of process, when I talked to Brad, what I walked away from is why I mentioned we can promote it, is we've got a targeted population, so it's not thousands of homes. But this is going to require commissioners going to door to door and convince the voters up there that they can trust us, that we have a vision that they share. So I think that since we're allowed, at least I know for myself, let me speak for myself, I think it's real important for face-to-face element of this project, if we're going to gain confidence of the people who live there, that we'll do the right thing by them, all the stuff we've talked about.
So I would hope that one of the things that you would provide us would be some essentially key talking points, so that we're so that we're echoing the same message,
right.
Obviously each in our own way, but
absolutely. I think, you know, if we end up needing to connect on a granular level with Gamblewood in particular, you know, I think it's important, you know, that we talk about benefits, that we talk about these values types of discussions. But sure, I mean, I think, you know, it will be, I think, communication on a very, you know, household, almost household-to-household level. But I also, I want to be sensitive to, I'm going to say this, I think it will be important, you know, that knife edge that the port walks versus what you as a commissioner might walk is important. And I think that I want to be sensitive to, you know, making sure that we're upholding our statutory requirement clearly, and at the same time giving you the tools I want to be cautious about promising anything specific in relation to that.
Well, I was just trying to point out, road signs are not going to pass us by.
Oh, no.
It's going to be eyeball to eyeball. Yeah. And it's going to be, we got to believe in it. If we don't believe in it, then...
Right.
One of the things I hope that you can provide for us is through research or whatever tools and experience you have, to be able to communicate to us what are the issues that the people are concerned about. How do they view things like this? What sort of information do they need in order to make a decision, pro or con? But I think typically if people don't have the answer, they vote no. If they have the answer, they may still vote no, but at least it's a knowing, informed vote, and that's the most important thing.
What are their needs?
Yeah.
I remember we've been working for a long time trying to find a safe way for people to get from Gamblewood to Kingston so they can use the parks. Ain't getting anywhere. But what do they need?
What do you mean by that?
This was a non-motorized trail or shoulder
other than
or something.
Going by the highway.
Other than going down the highway with your horse.
Okay.
Or something like that. But the idea is, what do people up there need?
Yeah.
And I think the idea that we can maybe help create things in proximity to where they live, mm-hmm. as opposed to having to come to Kingston, that there's some needs there that could be met. And I'm just guessing on what they might be.
Sure.
So two things that I need is our meeting on the 26th, I'd like some affirmation by the commission, are we doing this? Because we still don't have that, so if we could ponder that. And the reason I need that, I need to work with the assessor on census block, exactly where the boundary line is going to be, and that's going to take some time. So if we could get that in process by the 26th, an affirmation that this is something we want to do and put on the November ballot. We have until August 1st to get it on the ballot. That's the date we have to file. And then the big question, and I'd like kind of your take on it, is to Gamblewood or not to Gamblewood. We have two options of taking that whole corner, or the other option is to avoid Gamblewood and just do the peninsula. So we don't need a decision today. We can't make decisions, but I'd like you to think about it. You both have all the maps, and give us some direction on the 26th on how to work with the assessor on this.
Thinking about maps and a conversation that I had with Jim about our Metropolitan Park District. We have a Metropolitan Park District and we have the Port District. The Metropolitan Park District for Kingston does not extend throughout this whole area.
Right.
And I believe that there is some love-hate relationship in some parts of the community. People think we should be doing economic development. Why are we doing all these parks? And the dots aren't connected between what the park brings to Kingston in terms of quality of life that ultimately affects whether people want to live here, come here, shop here, etc. And I think that we're going to have to address that in some way at some point down the road. Are we just about parks, or what does it really mean, and what is the relationship between parks and water quality and economic development? So I think that's a piece. And there's another little, it isn't small. My family's been here since 63. And when the boatyard went away, the travel lift, there was a lot of consternation. Mm. There was a sense of tremendous loss. Mm. And what is this thing now? If it's not really about real boats. And I know that that's a piece of what we've been talking about with regards to the long-term plan for our whole campus, whatever here. And I don't, we don't know what the future is on that. I mean, that's not a done thing or a fully thought through thing. But I'm hoping that as we go through the next 6 months, that we'll have an opportunity to talk further about that and whether there is how boats and boat industry relates to the Port District. And it's not directly relevant on the surface to what happened to the annexation, but as people think about what's the port,
right,
you know, that emerges. And
I think in my mind at least, there's this opportunity presents itself almost as a requirement that we really can't talk about the benefits to a community that may not be that familiar with you without clearly talking about who we are and what our vision and values are. So I think it's almost inescapable that, you know, on the one hand, we're going to have a very set of transactional communications, you know, around this potential vote. And at the other hand, it's like, okay, so, you know, it begs the question of why. And so we need to talk about, you know, what the vision for the port is.
Some random thoughts. Actually, ports weren't created for economic development. They were created to return the waterfront to the public because the railroad companies had bought up all the waterfronts and they were squeezing out the local businesses and the local public access to the waterfronts. So I think when you look at Kitsap County, the Port of Kingston has probably the best waterfront in the county for the, from a public perspective. In other words, it provides the most access and most events and all that sort of stuff. When you go to see what Bremerton has or Silverdale has, this is really a great public waterfront. So I think we've got a good story to sell that we can do things responsibly. The Shoreline Management Program makes a very high priority on commercial maritime-related work in waterfront activities.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of answer your stuff that that we have skills in that area, we can expand on that, and we can create jobs that are fit within the intent of what the WAC, I was reading the WAC just before I came here, about how you develop the type of properties that we have, and that we'll be part of this stuff, so like that spit there. I think it's very consistent with public policy to do what you were saying,
mm-hmm.
and right now we're limited by our footprint. You know, Port has really we're kind of boxed in, and we're in an urban area, so we're limited there. So this allows us to be able to expand out into economic development activities that just can't be done in this footprint here.
Yeah, because this is a transportation hub in a way that Port Gamble isn't, which allows other things to happen.
We could do a lot more if we had access to more property. Some way.
Well, I think you know, one of the kind of helpful takeaways from your minute, obviously everything has been helpful for me today, but that desire to have an understanding if we end up needing to communicate with Gamblewood, understanding what their needs are. I think that's, first of all, it's, I want to just commend you on that approach. You know, not every elected body would say, well, we really need to know what these people are thinking about and what matters to them. I think that just as an outsider, it's refreshing to hear you talk in that way. And I think if we end up drawing the boundaries such that we need that, I think that's, you know, a critical step. So I think, you know, probably after the 26th, when you guys decide yay or nay on this, and we have an idea of a specific boundary line, that will sort of highlight a good chunk of how the communication process needs to go. Because if we don't go down that path, then our needs are reduced.
I understand the boundary line, and those are the voters.
Right.
But I don't think, no matter how you draw the boundary line, you gotta look at the sensitivity of the people who are gonna use.
Sure.
So we need to know what's going on in Gamblewood, regardless whether they vote on it or
okay.
not, because it's in their backyard.
Okay.
And I think that's important to be able to address the concerns or whatever of a port district in their backyard.
or whatever, or what they bring that brings to the table for that community.
We haven't really talked about how we're going to make that decision. What, so about Bangerline, Campbell, whatever.
We'll have a discussion. The executive director will have a recommendation, and you'll vote on how you want to do that.
On the 26th.
We'll give you two options. There really are only two options. Yeah. That's to take it all or exclude Campbellwood. So. And, it, you know, you can see it both ways. I mean, you can say, I want to include Campbellwood, but you're looking at an additional 2,000 votes, and that 2,000 votes could turn the vote negative or positive, and you just need to make that decision.
A question. Typically, things like this have a local support group.
Are you asking?
I'm asking about that, how that works.
Well, I mean...
Friends of the Port or whatever.
Sure.
Or enemies of the Port, I don't know.
Well, you know, I it's a great question. I think, and to be quite frank, I'm just ignorant at this stage about what that environment looks like around the Port of Kingston. I don't know that yet. But sure, my philosophy as it relates to voter approved things is you want support to be as grassroots as it can be and as broad as it can be. If you have natural allies, natural groups that are in support of it, then we will want to catalyze, you know, their work to the extent that we can. I don't know what the environment here is yet to specify that. What is your assessment?
Well, I'm thinking about there's a real need. Let me say, there's a group that's Forest and Bay Initiative. It doesn't have that name because those acronyms are FBI, so they changed it. But they are involved in the acquisition and public use of the Port Gamble properties.
Okay.
And they've gotten quite a few million bucks, but it's sort of an infinite well source. But the idea of being able to take those properties and utilize them for public use and or so preserve the environmental quality of.
Are they involved in that park purchase?
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that's an advocacy group for that, and I think there's some communication with them, because I think Port might bring, you know, we can't develop inland parks unless it's a transportation terminal. So that's not it. But there may be ways that having us collaborating with their goals on their development of it's called a heritage park, I think. Yeah. So developing that and pursuing that objective ideal is a potential ally.
There could be some confusion in that, and when you drive home, you'll see they have a website called saveportgamble.org. Mm,
yeah.
And that could have a connotation of what we're trying to do. So we do need to communicate with them to make sure there is a clear differentiation.
One thing I'm not clear on, and maybe this is a question Carolyn has to answer, but I know that in terms of an expansion of a district like a Port District, only the residents of that expansion area vote. It's not part of the ballot for the rest of the district. Is that on a basis of every parcel? Every tax parcel has an owner, and for each tax parcel, that owner gets to vote. Or
it's registered
if you
voters.
Own 40 acres, you have still one vote, whether it's
and it's residents, so it's not out of town owners. It's OPG probably has very few votes because it's got to be registered residents.
That's an important factor for people to understand. It's not OPG telling them what they're going to do. It's the people who live in there, the residents there. Then. Deciding what they want.
Although OPG could be an advocacy group.
They
could be the advocacy group if that were the case.
There is also, I thought the RCWs were a little ambiguous on whether it has to follow precinct lines or not. I read it, you can read it both ways. So and when we look at boundaries, we kind of need to see.
The assessor says it doesn't.
Okay,
and I hope it doesn't, because that would include going to the canal, and I don't want to go to the Hood Canal. So that precinct is pretty large if you look at the precinct map. But the assessor, when I met with her, says that it does not have to follow.
It should follow property lines if we can.
Yeah.
So you don't have a person that's got half in and half out.
Yeah.
What half pays the taxes?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think just to close my part of it, I think, you know, in some sense I'm a good test case for this because I'm mildly aware of what goes on this side of the bridge, but not deeply aware of it. And so, you know, a lot of our Jim and mine's conversations to date has largely been around educating me. And I think that I'm probably a decent proxy for the average citizen in the sense that, you know, they're somewhat engaged, but probably not as deeply engaged as you would want. And so I think clarifying, being clear, just start there, being clear about what the future might entail, what our role in it might be, the benefits, I think is really a lot of what this is all about. I think that there are a load of existing constituencies that we need to, you know, play well with and partner with and work well with, but I think a lot of it is just around clarity. So I feel quite optimistic that there's a message here that I think will resonate and can resonate if we give them information to make that decision on their own. But I think it's also a really great opportunity to talk not about Port Gamble, but really about the port. That's kind of my key takeaway from this, is that there's a real opportunity here to say, you know, we are at this juncture of time where, yeah, we could just sit and do our same thing we've always done, but you have a group of commissioners, you have staff, we're ready to do something for the county, you know, or for this, for the North End. So, is there anything else I can answer for you, or confuse or muddy the waters?
My other question, as I think about our conversation on the 26th around boundaries, is, and maybe this is really a question for you. I'm interested in seeing what number of households are in each boundary configuration, if there is a demographic difference. I'm pretty familiar with Port Gamble, Gamblewood, and it's not a coalesced community at this point, but it is a very lively community. There are a lot of young families, and
I'm kind of interested in the dispersion of the voters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One, and I think we have to face, or I feel compelled to face, what is the likelihood of passage of the two options. I can see people loving who are intensively using Port Gamble area. Static over the possibility of having development that meets their needs. And I think as you go away from that, it'll get fainter and fainter. So I think one of my decision criteria is what's the likelihood of passage in the various options. I don't know how we get around that, but I think that's important.
So one of the things in looking at this potential map, if we're going to change the boundary, we should look at all the areas to change the boundary. And we realize that presently half of Arborwood is not in our district. And if we're going to draw that line anyway, we might want to just include Arborwood in the district while we're doing it. There's no residents there, but it just seems natural, whatever happens there, because I doubt the 700 homes are going to be built, but whatever's done there, that should be part of our district. So
half of it is now and half of it.
Yeah, this little tail down here you can see next to Heritage Park is not in our district presently. It's kind of split down the middle. So I think we should take the time to really analyze all the districts when we're drawing that line to make sure that we pull in areas of potential development 20 years from now.
Sure. So have you spoke to John about that?
Yeah.
So he gets it.
Yeah.
Because he just passes that on.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
To me as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point that you make about looking not just at this corner of our boundary, but look all the way around the boundary and see what if there are some other things we should take this opportunity to address them now. We certainly don't want to be doing that, you know, 2 years from now or 5 years from now, going back to sort of this little corner.
This does bring in GPC property, so a fair bit of it. Oh, well, at the bottom end. Greater Peninsula Conservancy, and I think we do need to have some. I think it's transparent to them whether in a district or not, but
it's probably good to mention maybe Kate or someone like that, that this is something we're thinking about.
Anything else for Kevin? So feel free to communicate through me any questions you have, any thoughts at 3 in the morning. Shoot me an email and I'll make sure that Kevin gets that. I have really no problem if you communicate directly to Kevin. I just want to make all sure all three commissioners are aware of the communication that's moving forward. So it's easier to come through me and I'll forward it to everyone.
So I think there is one other comment I'd like to make that I think any thing that goes out needs to at least be sensitive to. The port is coming out of a very painful time in this community. And I would like this to basically feel like the bugle is playing on reemergence.
Mm.
And the beginning of the next chapter. And again, a subtle reflection off a window in the picture, but
finish it up.
I'd rather be focused on the looking forward than backwards.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, looking in the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Yeah. And I think it's important to focus the community that we're moving forward. We're moving the port's moving forward to a different type of port that's focused around economic development, the greater good of the North Kitsap area.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way of,
yeah,
of dealing with that issue.
Yeah.
If that's an issue with some people, the issue is about this is our future, and voters, we can take advantage of this nexus that Jim brought up, or we can let it go by. Either way, but it's an opportunity to shape the North End.
Yeah, I was not suggesting that we go into a whole lot of
that's what I said. The point that I think you're making here is the idea of emergence and the port is up and running and moving in a direction. We've started, and this is just a furtherance of what we started. It is not a bad thing to keep in mind, because in some people's mind there is still a negative dark cloud about the port. And so in the message that this is new port, new day, new direction. Subtle, not the main point, but part of it.
We could probably somehow talk about the port's having a master plan. Mm-hmm. It's called a scheme, but that's not really a great thing to put out there. But this, we're looking forward to a process where the public can be fully engaged in the new port, if you want to talk about a new boundary port, and what's the scheme or plan for how that port will engage in that larger area.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, looking forward to the items. We're going to come up with a new way. It's not going to just take the old scheme. It's going to
be a master plan.
A new master plan with public engagement.
Is that, okay, so this is an important point from my standpoint. Is what you're just describing on the books, or is that something that will, in other words, is it something that is you've already committed to as a commission to do, to create a new master plan, or is that something once, assuming hypothetically this vote happens and this vote is accepted, then at that point you would start a new master plan process?
I think the latter, because how could you make it if you didn't know the answer to that question? Sure. We will, I mean, what shape, we're going to do it one way or another,
okay,
but what shape it takes depends on what's in the port.
Well, I think we need to be careful that you can only master plan properties you own.
Correct.
And we're not going to own Port Gamble. But what it'll do is it'll give us a seat at the table for OPG's master plan, which they're going to be doing. Right now, they're going to be doing it in a vacuum. But if we can be part of that master planning for the entire area, that would be key of how we can move
that
forward.
A fine point on that is the master plan, you can't acquire things without it being in the plan.
True.
So our plan could say we're looking forward to partnering in some things.
Right.
You know, so we don't have to be mum on the subject.
Right.
Put it there. Because actually our master plan was let's acquire some upland property and then let's develop it. And we kind of did that, but it may not be the way we're going to end up. But so we can state our goals for this, for the future in that plan.
Yeah. I guess the confusion in my mind is we're talking about a benefit. Would I be accurate in saying we could go to a potential voter and say, you know, if this voter or if this change is approved, you would then have access to a public process?
Sure.
Okay.
The voters are up there.
Yeah. So right now,
we're talking about a plan that addresses.
Yeah, right now they don't have a voice. And if this is approved, they would have a voice.
Right.
They would have a seat at the table, right? Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to oversell it, but
no.
It feels to me like that's a really important piece, is that, you know, and I think it ties in what you were saying before. But that was where I was asking, what is that guiding philosophy? Because it wasn't clear to me. So now what I think I'm hearing you say is that there will be some master plan process in for the port.
We've got a plan for this piece. Yeah. We're going to have to create a plan that includes this piece and the people that live, people that live in this piece are going to be, well, I cannot, you know, I don't know.
No, I understand.
I mean, they should be fully engaged in what happens on this piece.
Right.
That we can influence.
And totally. I think the relationship between those two hands and the Olympic Peninsula, or the OPG master plan is something we'll have to be pretty clear about communicating.
Yeah, because one of the things John was clear about is they're going to be doing a master plan in the next 2 years.
Right.
And they want to be able to hold future developers to that master plan.
Yeah.
So a Walmart doesn't go in there.
Right.
And we want to be part of that process.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm good if you're good.
Thanks.
Kevin's
going to
go away and he's going to turn these words out and you're going to read it and you go, wow, did I say that? I love having a publicist.
So I would like to know, it's not on our agenda, but I would be interested in knowing if anyone in our audience has reactions or questions to what you've heard.
Nothing I want to share right now. Thanks for asking, though, and I appreciate the opportunity.
More than a little to think about there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you. Any more staff comments at this point?
I think you all know Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
I brought Jeanette along today. We all know that Sam will be out probably for a few months, and we need somebody to help us with this. So we're kind of grooming Jeanette to be able to help us here. So just wanted to know you to know why she's sitting here. She's going to be recording this. Sam is going to help us from her hospital bed. She's going to actually post this. She wants to do that. But we'll do everything we can to team together. The staff is, we had a staff meeting this morning, and everybody wants to pull together, and whatever help staff can do, we're going to do to fill that void. It's a big void, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I have.
Hello. Additional commissioner comments?
I could go over all ports from last night. I'll try to do it very quickly. The Water Trails Association, in another reincarnation, is going to have a Water Trails Festival in June. And here are the rec carts, if you're interested in what that is. It's Silverdale and Bremerton-centric, although they will have a triathlon at the start up in Port Gamble and then up down Silverdale. So that's going on, a lot of stuff associated with that. They would like ports to have paddling events. I think they've talked to Jim about next year having some sort of like a three-day festival here in Kingston. That is, we used to have the Paddle Kitsap and they'd stop here, but the weather kind of put a cold cold water, so to speak, on that, because people would come around from Port Gamble and wash up on the beach and all. Silverdale is looking at a dredge, and they're finding that beach nourishment is a good way to do the spoils, and it's a lot less costly in figuring out how to do that. It's basically, instead of taking them out and dumping them in Puget Sound, you build up the beaches. If we ever dredged at something, they just acquired the saloon down there in Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working with the county on all the
all the issues that, but they're going to come up with a new planning process on how they, that was it like us. That was another piece in their puzzle of getting a chunk of land and how they're going to develop it, and then they're going to do a public outreach problem.
The port's going to have a bar?
Well, it's a question of,
this is cool.
It could be. We like that idea. We decided to have that for our new meetings.
Yeah.
But really, this is more like Monopoly. You know, you've got the, now you've got the last piece, and now they're moving to develop that. So they're, I told them about Heartland, and we're looking for something on doing that. They're looking at boat storage. They talked about, well, one port talked about grant extensions with RCO and 2-month requirement for the due date and making sure you have all that paperwork. You know. Next, Marina Committee at the All Ports, WPPA conference. Yesterday afternoon, there was a Marina Committee telecon, and they want to deal with derelict boats and what issues.
I was on it.
Oh, you were? Okay, so you know all about that. Okay, so I won't get into that.
And then you'll keep us apprised of...
They really wanted what issues should be brought up at the WPPA conference on derelict boats. Good. So that was sort of a couple shots. And Brownsville is doing a major... I think you saw in the paper. Did you see the public offering?
Oh,
a public offering for Brownsville. I think it was $1.3 million.
Public offering.
A bond.
Bond issue.
Oh, a bond. Okay.
Yeah, it was in the paper a couple days ago.
I was thinking IPO. Are
they
going to
sell
Marina
for $1.3 million?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe. Well, in any event, they're going to do a major Marina reorientation. And what they're saying is the tribes want hundreds of feet of dock space for mitigation. And they asked us if we did that. And I said, I was aware of giving tribes some docking privileges, but I think that timed out when we did the dredge, so we don't have anything active. But if you contact their person, because what they're being told is we need, to agree with this dredging permit, we need 200 feet of dock. And so if you could.
That is theirs or just access to?
I think we're talking about it is theirs when they want it for fishing boats.
With no charge.
So it may be countercyclic with the boating season, but it was not clearly, it's just they would like to know what other ports have done for mitigation. And that's kind of the big stuff. A lot of notes, but you'll see the minutes. They did talk about minutes, and should they go to short minutes, and the consensus was no, keep all that information in there. So that's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, our next regular meeting is Wednesday, April 26th at 1 p.m., which is our new time, and we're interested in whether or not doing it at this new time is more likely to bring people to us than doing it in the evening. So, with
location?
That, at the
Village Green.
So, with that little plug, I think... Do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There we are. Thank you.